Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody. Yes, it's 3 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? On Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, it is time for Dream Business Radio Live. I'm your host, Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, and this is episode 609. This is the second of my final four shows, and this week and the next 2 weeks after this are going to be very special interviews, because each guest is not only a proven superstar entrepreneur, they played a major role in inspiring me and in some cases mentoring me, which is a nice way of saying kicking my butt, to achieve higher levels of success. So this week, my very special guest is a very successful entrepreneur. There's got to be another word than Barry. I feel like I'm saying that a lot. I'm a superstar coach and truly one of the nicest people I've ever met. We were literally just blasting away, catching up. And I said, oh, crap, 5 seconds. So here. And Melanie Benson, welcome back to Dream Business Radio. You've been here before.
Yeah, a few times. You're one of my favorite podcasts and show hosts, and I'm so honored to be part of this wrap-up series. I was so touched that you invited me.
Oh, such a no-brainer for me. So I want to dive right in, because I really want to pack this half hour with a lot of good stuff. So let me, for the few people who may not know who you are, Melanie Benson, founder of Million Dollar Visibility for Expertpreneurs, has spent the last two decades showing experts how to stand out in a crowded market and generate 5 to 6 figures monthly as a recognized authority. It really is all about the authority. She's the host of the amazingly successful podcast, Amplify Your Success, co-host of Next Level Influence. She's the author of Rewired for Wealth, Entrepreneur.com's Startup Guide to Starting an Information Marketing Business. And Melanie has been featured in Authority Magazine, Bloomberg Business Week, Women's Day in Parenting, just to name a few. She's also a founding member of a founding executive team member of Women's Speakers Association. Perhaps most importantly, she has been blessed. I have been blessed. Excuse me. Let me get that right. To be a speaker multiple times on the Dream Business Academy stage. There's one. I think I have two pictures. Forget the order, but I think that was San Diego. And every time, one more picture, then I'll come back. But then she also invited me out early. This was maybe before Dream Business Academy. You invited me to share some of my knowledge with one of your live events. I think we're at a marina, right? It's like Marina Del Rey.
Yeah, that was something. Redondo Beach, I think.
Yeah, that was so much fun. Look how young I look. What a kid. Good Lord.
We were just kids. We were so young.
Just kids. So Melanie, I've coached over, you know, when I started, I think in 2009, I've coached hundreds of entrepreneurs. And a lot of that work, whether they come to you for, as you know, being a coach even way longer than that, whether they want branding, authority, you know, help with this sort of thing, a lot of it involves mindset work. And so I want to give credit where credit due. I've always said this openly. Melanie has been my personal mindset coach, has helped me take out the trash on more than one occasion. When I was just getting started in coaching, there were three people that I really looked up to in that coaching space. Adam Urbanski, who you met, was on here last week. My good friend Melanie, and also James Malinchak. I was going to his events at the time. And from the sidelines, as a newbie admiring three rock stars, I'm just so blessed to call all three of you a friend these days. And Melanie, you remember you, me, and Adam started very privately. We all agreed to kind of anonymity. The Rockstar Mastermind group.
That's right. We call it Rockstar Mastermind. That's
I know, because
right.
Who cares? We're rock stars in our own heads.
We're rock stars.
And I think we really each pushed each other to really higher levels of success. Now, if you could take maybe just 2 minutes or 3 minutes, not the long version, but when I first met you and I learned about your background, you had left like corporate America. I think you were with one of the telecommunications companies. But when I first met you, you were running like a 7-figure coaching program. Could give a little bit of that story, if you would.
Yeah, I think when you met me, we may have been just getting into the high six figures. So I don't think we quite hit that seven figure yet, but somewhere around there. Yeah, so I was in a corporate gig for close to 15 years, two different companies, Fortune 500 company. And I started my business in 2000. And I think we met around 2006, but I think you may have been, I think you joined one of my programs before we met. And I kept hearing about Jim Palmer. One of our common friends kept saying, Jim Palmer, Jim Palmer. And back then, a lot of it was about how you can stop feeling overwhelmed and focus on the things that move the needle. That's not what I called it back then. Mm-hmm. I had several online programs, and a lot of it had to do with like, how do we really put the infrastructure in place that's going to accelerate the growth of our business? So I call that the phase one, Melanie. That was a lot of what I knew, like the strengths I brought from the corporate world, the strengths of what I had to learn to become a good business owner. And quite frankly, Jim, that season, if you will, taught me a lot about what I didn't want to do in business.
Yeah.
Because I learned a lot about strengths versus genius.
Mm. Yeah, you were the first one that I ever met that used the word genius. When I first heard, I thought, well, that's a weird name. I mean, a weird how to phrase it. But
term,
then
yeah.
Everybody has their zone of genius, like something they do really well. So I applaud you for bringing that to the forefront.
Yeah, well, I can't take full credit. I believe that's Gay Hendricks that sparked that word for all of us. But and if you've never read The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, I highly recommend it. But yeah, he was influential in my life at a time when I realized my business I'd worked so hard to build was not going to be the business I continued. And it was a really challenging time. And I turned to a lot to my mindset tools, my mastermind support system during those years. But yeah, that was really understanding that distinction made a huge difference in my own joy and my stress levels, quite frankly, in running a business.
Yeah. What was the name of the coaching program that really grew so big, but then ended up stressing you out so bad?
Yeah. The Fast Track to a Lifestyle Business. You'd think that would be a business, a program that
able to sustain.
Yeah. I think where things kind of went awry for me, and I'll just be in full disclosure. I learned a lot and I didn't really own my part in this for a long time because I didn't really understand my part in it, but I was building offerings to kind of like meet like what my team wanted to do. At that time, I had someone on one of my lead coaches had a lot of skill sets and a lot of experience in an area that I didn't. And it was contagious and it was really exciting because I knew people needed it. And so we kept kind of building on that. But then when it was time for her to go a different direction, things did not elegantly end. And I learned that was not my zone of genius. That was a strength that I had in corporate, but I didn't have the passion to bring that to the world the same way that person did. And so, yeah, it abruptly closed and it was during the financial crisis. So there was like, I always call that was my perfect storm year where everything that could go wrong went wrong, many things outside of my control, but I was not at the stage in my own personal development where I navigated that in a way that I felt good about. And looking back on it, you know how you wish you could have a do-over? That's definitely one of those things I wish I could do over. But great
but
learning.
We learned so many lessons from going through crap. And it's part of what I wanted to bring you on for, because you're such an amazing, you're an amazing mindset coach, but part of what makes you that is you did learn some skills, but you're probably the most intuitive person. Like you can literally read minds, I think. And I thought, how fun would it be? So I wrote a book called Decide. That was my my mindset book. And, I apologize to this day. You should have been a co-author because with your full permission, because I've interviewed you so many times. I said, here's some things I want to share in this chapter. But then let me buff it up with some of this transcripts from our interviews and things you shared. So, I mean, it really that'll be a faux pas that I'll live with. But anyway.
Well, it was the easiest co-authoring I ever did. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, there you go. You didn't have to lift a pen. We had it all on tape, so to speak. So I thought no matter what I ask you about mindset, I know that the people who listen to Dream Business Radio and sometimes catch it on the video here, it's going to be beneficial. But I thought, well, I'm getting out of the game here, so I'll expose even more of my failings or my shortcomings early on, like I did with Adam, and they might be helpful to you. So I wrote down a short little list of the breakthroughs that you personally helped me with. So the first one, I remember it was in August. It was August, and I don't know exactly the year, but I was so busy, and I was major league stressed out. And I called you and said, I've got to keep working. I've got so many deadlines. I was probably writing a book. I was probably doing so many things. And I said, what should I do? How do I prioritize? You said, prioritize by getting the hell out of your office and take, I think you said, take a week off. I said, no can do, but I'll take the day off. And I drove up. I remember, I think I wrote about this to decide. I drove up to Eagles training camp. Now, it turns out I had my camera. I was shooting videos every week at that point. And I shot a video, so I technically was working. But for me, the driving the car and just thinking about stuff helped me decompress. And that was a big lesson for me. But how often do you tell type A entrepreneurs, get out of your office, go take some time off?
You know, it's funny. It doesn't come up as much anymore, the work I'm doing today, because it's more mm-hmm. about visibility and really like standing out. And I think maybe our society or our entrepreneurial community has kind of woken up to the hustle and grind culture isn't really a sustainable approach.
Right.
But I think over the trajectory of my career, I've probably had that conversation 1,000 times. I remember a client who she was straddling, running a pharmaceutical placement company, like not pharmaceutical, the pharmacist placement company. And she was doing that and building a coaching business at the same time. And she literally was so like to the minute if something went late, her whole world went crashing down. And so the work we did together was literally like, you have to create space if you want to grow. And it was so hard for her to do it. So I it's definitely a common issue for our entrepreneurs who are very driven and ambitious and have a lot of moving plates at all times. And they like to generate more activity.
And activity, another thing you told me, activity doesn't equal progress, right? I mean, right. Stephanie said for years, Jim has the patience of a gnat. And I think in relationships and family, that's not always good. In business, I think it served me well because yeah. I was always getting stuff done fast. But another area that I think a lot of people struggle is money mindset, millionaire mindset, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. And initially, it can take many forms. You're too cheap or too scared to invest in faster growth, right? And you know, one of the things you said from this one of my stages from one of my events was just reframe it. Instead of saying I can't afford this, which is a shutdown kind of negative a phrase, you say, what has to happen for me to be able to afford this? And I'm like, oh my God, write that down right in the back room. So talk about a little bit of money mindset, and then I'll reveal one of our very personal conversations.
Yeah, well, and by the way, public thank you for so many just exquisite opportunities to be of service to our communities by inviting me to speak on your stages. It was a beautiful dance we did because I didn't have to sell from the stage, which was never my favorite thing to do, but I could add value to your offers. And then, you know, people would naturally resonate or gravitate towards me when it was right. Money mindset to me is something that we often aren't born with, but we have to create, we have to develop it. We have to become the version of ourselves that is capable of navigating six-figure, seven-figure, eight-figure businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And what happens is we often stop growing at the level at which our mindset can hold on to the idea that we can have that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of time, hello, I love the little things that pop in there. I think sometimes we are conditioned by family, by culture, by religion, by experiences, by pain. We have all these micro traumas that occur between childhood and adulthood that reinforce either a message that you are capable and you can do this, or reinforce the message that you are not cut out for this, or you don't deserve it, or whatever it is. And this is a very complicated thing. And I studied NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and neuroscience. And there is science that explains why our brains have a set point around money that we literally cannot move beyond. So that's a lot of what I love teaching at your events. And I know it influenced a lot of our personal conversations because I had to do my own work around money and mindset. You know, that saying, every new level releases a new devil. Well, I've certainly had that in my life. You know, I did some very powerful mindset recoding that got me to break into six figures. But then when I hit seven figures, I think a big part of why some of those things didn't go the way I had hoped was I hit a new level that I didn't know how to be the person that could navigate that next level. There was decisions and stressors and influences that were not, I was not prepared for. And so I think we have to be prepared to do the inner work. We might also call it the business energetics that allow us to be capable of decision-making and action that meets the level of revenue that we're entering.
Yeah. When you're growing a business, there's so many things that I want to say we're born or raised to take them personally, but money, when I learned and finally came to the money, isn't like a measure of who you are. Money is just a measure. It's just money's a tool, right? So you shouldn't have a personal relationship with money. But the other thing, which was interesting, is I had enormous, just a weight on my shoulders about the initial debt I had. So, you know, I was out of work for a year and a half. I had cancer and all this stuff before I started my business. So I not only was broke, but I was in debt. And first year, my business was revenue free, right? So I had to carry the family and the mortgage and stuff on credit cards. And I had a lot of remorse about that. And I just, but there was a few things that shifted for me when I stopped taking it personally. And the other thing was, and I don't know if I think it was you who said this, you can't save your way out of debt. You have to grow your way out of debt.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, well, if I'm in struggle mode right now, I'm just going to, you know, not going to go out to dinner. I'm going to cut that subscription or do this. You cannot save your way out of debt, but you can easily grow your way out of debt if you're successful in your business. So a little nugget there, but now I want to share something. Melanie, I think you or I, we were, might have been a Malincheck event. I'm not 100% sure, but we were kind of in the hotel lobby and we're sitting there. And this is at a point where, so No Hassle Newsletters was rolling, Concierge Print was rolling, Success Advantage Publishing. I was doing some ebooks and some courses. A lot of things were happening, right? And money really started growing at a fairly healthy rate. And you said, "What's wrong?" I didn't even say anything. You just said,
"You were in a funk. You were like in a really bad mood." And I'm like, "What the heck? What's going on?"
But I was trying to put on a game face, like, "What's wrong?" You're like, "What do you mean, what's wrong? I'm happy." No, you're not. What's wrong? And I tried to push it off because I really don't want to talk about it. And you just kept going. And I said, "You know what? So here's the thing that's bothered me. My revenue is growing at a very healthy rate, and I still feel poor. I still feel like year one." And the reason for that, you said, "Well, why is that?" And I said, "Because I'm paying down all this debt. I can't wait to be debt free." So the money's rolling in, but other than what I needed to pay the bills, I just kept plowing it to the credit cards. And you said, I think you said something, "You are so far out of balance or out of whack or out of your comfort zone." I don't remember which one it is. And you say, "Well, what would make you feel better? Like, what's a big number to you?" And it's not the same number today. But back then I said, "I've never had $10,000 in the bank. If I had $10,000 in the bank, man, I'd have such a comfort level." You said, "Well, that's fine. So whatever money comes in, pay your bills, and whatever's left above $10,000, send that to credit cards and leave $10,000 in the bank." And I'm like, "Duh." No. But I mean, that was so mind-blowingly powerful for me, how you did that.
Well, I'm just getting chills thinking about this moment because I think it was a turning point for both of us in different ways. I do a lot of, like you said, I have a really strong intuition and I can pick up on behaviors and actions and belief systems and conflicts that are holding people back in a conversation. The words people use are clues of where they're actually blocked from their greatest level of success. And that conversation was illuminating to me that you had a conflict. And the conflict is like, "I want this, but I can only see how to do this thing over here. And that's not really where I want to be." Or this feels like I can't have both things at the same time. So one of the ways that I love to help people ignite their possibility and kind of like unblock themselves is, okay, well, just you have to reframe the way you're approaching something. I remember there was, I'm not going to say who it was to honor privacy, but there was somebody in one of your audiences when I was speaking about conflict around money and success and, you know, what we hold true as value systems. And she had the biggest breakthrough. She was like, oh my God, up until this moment, I always thought it was this or that, family or success. And we were creating a reality, a paradigm where you can have money and time with your family. And it was like, I didn't even know it was possible. And I think that's the rub, Jim, is if we don't believe something's possible, we've never seen it as a reality, or we don't have a path, depending on how our brains work, we limit what we believe we can do. For some people, it's just saying, hey, well, yeah, you can do that. And then you create the path. For others, you have to dissolve whatever those like those internal hidden belief systems that are causing you to filter your opportunities in a very limited way. That's usually trauma or some kind of negative conditioning. But right. Yeah, in that moment, Jim, you literally, like, your whole world rewired. And that's the power of mindset coaching with success strategy. Because you can have the best strategy in the world, but if you don't have the mindset to go with it, you will keep yourself in pause.
That's right. It's like, you know, when we did our Dream Business Academy Orlando, I told the elephant story where, you know, a baby elephant with a chain around its leg with a simple, like a tent stake in the ground, and it can't pull it. And it grows up to be a humongous creature capable of turning over a train car, but it won't pull the stake out of the ground because that's how it's been conditioned, right? Yep. And I learned so much about reframing. And I think that's the important thing about working with a good coach. And sometimes you need two coaches. Maybe you need to work with a marketing coach or branding coach. But if you don't fix what's going on up here, all the other stuff that you put in there is going to be for naught, in my opinion. Yeah. So we got about 10 minutes left. I want to do not a rapid 30-second answer, but I got a couple other things that I know are hot topics for entrepreneurs who seem to get stuck. One of them is imposter syndrome. We wrote about that in Decide. Talk about that if you would.
Yeah. So, I mean, people oftentimes find that they're not believing they're capable of receiving what can come for them. So an example might be, I am being challenged, or I'm ready to grow my revenue, but on some level, I don't know if I can deliver the program the way it could be delivered or should be delivered to warrant that level of revenue, right? Or this comes up, I see a lot for people, you know, I teach this strategy of how to borrow or create $1 million visibility. And to me, what that means is you allow your message to like be magnified and amplified in a way that you're touching the lives of people all over the world. And it's much bigger than that, but for the short version, yeah. Imposter syndrome is, I'm not ready to be that visible. Who would want to hear that message? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Does my message, does what I have to say matter to anybody? We have these internal blocks, these messages that hold us back. And when we have those, and oftentimes we don't even realize we're in imposter syndrome because our reality feels real to us, but it's not real. It's the story you've made up. It's the conditioning that you've let define you. And you can do that differently. You can step into it a little bit. You might need a coach to help you shape your message or do some strategic redesigning and optimizing, but it's already inside of you. So I say imposter syndrome is an opportunity to discover where your genius can be monetized and amplified to the world around you.
And to the degree that there are stumbling blocks, you just have to reframe what those are, right? Because as you said, you live in your own reality.
Yeah, sometimes we have to fix some things. We have to fix your thinking. We have to fix your offer. We have to fix your business model so you can sustain it. But usually that's not what's holding you back. Your belief about yourself is what's holding you back.
Immunity to criticism. That's a big one. First of all, nobody enjoys being criticized, even if it's from somebody who like is the last person who deserves you even have to listen to, right? Which is usually what, well, I won't be mean, but you know, when you do things, Dan Kennedy had an expression, the higher up the flagpole you go, the more your butt's going to hang out, which is kind of like, if as you become more successful, you're more visible and people take shots. Far be it for me to correct Dan Kennedy, but I added to it. I said, but that's okay, because the view's much better up there, right? So take a few slings and arrows and roll with that. And I've got my own advice I'll offer, but you're my guest. You go first. How do people deal with the incoming, and social media has just exacerbated it, about criticism?
Well, I think, first of all, if you anticipate it and expect it, and again, it's about a reframe. What if criticism means you're doing things right, even if the person who's criticizing you doesn't think that way? So I'm a recovering people pleaser. My trauma, my childhood conditioning was you have to make the authorities happy, because if you don't make them happy, bad stuff's happening. Okay. So I was conditioned to take criticism and say, oh my God, something's wrong with me. Well, as an entrepreneur and doing the work that I do, I had to quickly realize that criticism means nothing unless the person giving me that feedback is somebody who is A, in the trenches with me, as Brené Brown so elegantly has said in her work, or B, they're a client who's genuinely wanting something that I'm not able to give them, and that criticism can help improve what I do. That's the only space where criticism is worth its salt,
right?
To me. And I will just say, the minute, and we can self-criticize, right? So yes. Self-criticism is when you're comparing yourself to the progress of others, right? And you are criticizing your own journey and your own results because you're comparing where you are to someone else. And that is just as damaging. So you have to be willing to navigate your own self-criticism and reframe those gaps as opportunities rather than problems.
So I think perfectionism, being a perfectionist and immunity to criticism very often are tagged, right? Yeah. Because, you know, I think perfectionism is a label you wear to avoid the criticism. So this isn't ready to launch. I'm not ready to publish. I'm not ready to go live. I'm not ready to start my podcast because my voice is high pitched and silly. I don't know. You come up with all this stuff, right? And so they're very much interwoven. What I tell my clients is this. I said, listen, the shift that you have to make, or what was it, the reframe that you want to do in this department, is just make a choice. You have to choose to be judged on the quality of the information and the sharing, the giving, the caring, you know, the value that you provide the marketplace, and not the imperfect way in which you provide it. And, you know, when I started my video channel in 2009 with a little flip camera that about the size of a pack of cigarettes, the Kodak flip camera, oh my God, each video took hours because I didn't want to look like some, you know, inexperienced boob. So I did over and over and over and over. And then when I finally cut loose and just started being a little bit more myself, and I started paddling my kayak with the thing on the tripod, doing all of that, that's when people started watching. I said, wait, the more I'm just being me, the more viewership was going up, because it's not about being perfect. It's just about delivering good value. So that was a way long explanation, but care to comment before we move on?
Yeah, well, I think some of this has to do with our brand, right? And like, how do we want to be known and experienced by others? And when we're trying to like get everything perfect, perfect doesn't exist. It doesn't even exist in nature. It's an illusion. Now, we do want to put brand aligned quality forward, whatever that means to you. And if you can't do it on your own, then hire people to help you get there. But when we let it stall progress, what we're saying is, I don't really believe that I'm good enough, so I'm holding myself back because I don't want to be judged. I think one of the magical things that happened when you started showing more, like you jumping off the dock. It's like, I remember that. It was like so clever. But what you did was you made yourself relevant and authentic to the people that relate to that way of being. And that's what we do with a brand. When you want to be a recognized authority, which elevates your ability to command higher prices, get more bookings, get more interviews, right? What you're doing is saying, this is the energy of my brand. Does it resonate with yours? we don't have to be all things to all people. That's and right. That probably was a mindset reset that I needed to hear. I needed to hear that in 2002 when I was stuck. I was trying to be everything to everyone. And it's like, that was not selling. You can't be everything to everyone. You need to be the specific, relevant resource and solution to the people you want to work with and who need it and can afford it and will pay it. And that's the brand. That's the message. That's the energy you put out.
And to the people that don't like your energy or your stupid sophomoric humor or however else you present yourself, they're not meant to do business with you anyway. And so why take the call and take a half an hour to figure it out? Just let them not be attracted to you. So we're at the bottom of the hour. Can you go like 5 minutes? I got a couple more questions for you.
We're okay. Having fun. Well, why do we have to cut this short? You're retiring.
I know. I got nowhere to be except at 4 o'clock. So how do you, one thing that in, there's so many neat little cliches, but failure is a part of growing business, right? How do you rebound from failure without, you know, crying in the corner for too long, half an hour or a week or a month? How do you rebound quickly and just kind of get yourself going again?
Yeah, this is something I had to learn. Because let me tell you, my first big failure, I did not do this well. I almost let it completely pull me out of the game. Actually makes me a little sad even thinking about that moment, because I didn't have the tools in my toolbox to rebound from failure. But let me tell you something. Every human fails. Every entrepreneur fails. Every successful CEO fails. Everyone fails. And the more you fail, I love this quote. What's the lady's name that the founder of Spanx? Like, she has this beautiful quote. It's like her dad taught her, if you're not failing this week, you're not growing. And I want you to go out there and fail more.
Like, yeah. Yep.
Yes. So again, a reframe. What if instead of trying to avoid failure, you either A, push for faster failing, let me get enough stuff out there to figure out what is going to work, and just release, shift out of like, okay, I'm not going to make that mean anything about me. What it means is I'm growing. I'm trying. I'm in the game. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. That's what failure is. It's a failed attempt. Great. Shuff it off. Get up. Go again. What did I learn? How can I do it better? I had to learn the skill of, okay, shuff it off. Get back in the game. Do it better. Now, I want to honor that sometimes we got to feel the feels, because if you don't feel the feels, you can't learn the lessons. You can't figure out who you need to be to do it better. So don't try and like, you know, tough like one. Yeah. You don't have to pretend like it didn't suck. It did suck. Own it, acknowledge it, write about it, confess it to your mastermind partner, share it with your coach, but don't pitch a tent and live there. Figure out what you need to do to pick yourself up and then go figure out what will work better. That's the entrepreneurial game.
That is the next meme I want to see from Melanie Benson. Failure. Don't pitch a tent and live there. I mean, that's really good.
I've said that like 3 times this week.
I know. You know, I've always believed, and, you know, I've read so many books. I mean, Waddles, all the millionaire mindset books before I started working with you, and then experiencing a lot of this, but I've come to fully embrace and understand that what gets you to 6 figures is not what's going to get you to multiple 6 figures. It's not going to get you to 7 if you want to go farther than that. It's always expansion of your mind, expansion of what you can do, expansion of risk and things like that. So a lot of people that follow me are in that 6-figure range. So how do 6-figure business owners typically get in their own way? So they're like barely there, but then they can't get past it.
Well, I love this conversation about recognizing you have to be the person that can expand versus be in constriction. So one thing is they are still making fear-based decisions. So they're trying to keep from failing at something, keep from taking too big of a risk, rather than saying, well, what is the decision that actually propels me? So I think that's one thing. But I think another one, which I used to talk about all the time, is the bottleneck. We literally hold on to too many things and we don't really like let go fast enough. So that's one. I'm trying to hit high notes rather than deep dive on this. I think the third one is that we oftentimes we don't recognize the shift in decision making required to go beyond those early 6 figures. The decisions we make at those higher levels of success have different like parameters and factors, and you need to know what's important to you. What is the factors and values and needs and priorities at that higher level? They're going to be different. And if you're not making the shift that way, you're probably holding yourself back. There's a lot of things that hold us back. I think the big one is belief. Let's just go back to belief. Do you believe you're capable of having a business at seven figures? And if you don't, why? And what would have to change for you to believe in your work, your impact, your desire? So here's the number one thing I hear, Jim. I don't want to have to work that hard.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I hear people, and I will say more women than men say this, but I do hear it from men sometimes. They literally are like, I don't want to have to work that hard. Change your paradigm. What's the version of this business? What's the model? What's the delivery mechanism where you can work as much as you want? Like, our only trap around revenue is the trap we build in our mind. Because any of it's possible.
Yeah.
Figure out a new way to do it.
That's so interesting. I didn't think that was going to be the biggest thing. I mean, entrepreneurs are like the 80-hour week breed, right? So not that you want to do it forever.
I think I over the years have talked with a lot of people who are impact driven. You know, they're more coaches, they're healers, they're even though I worked with all types of entrepreneurs, the people who, you know, you might call it like a softer skill or more passion driven skill set, their vision of how to get where they want is different. So not everybody's wired for that hustle and grind.
Right. But
I just don't want to leave people with the illusion that you have to hustle and grind. You do need to take action. There is efforting. And yes, there's stress. But if you're doing this in a way that's aligned, that should be good stress. It should be stress that's moving the needle.
My final question is about branding and messaging. I'm always directing my clients or hopefully inspiring them. I call it staying in your lane, right? Especially in the social media world. And I know you do very good messaging. Like whatever you put out there, it's relevant, it's value driven, but it's also about who you are and what you offer. So you do very well at staying in your lane. Was that always easy for you? And if not, where did you learn that? And then what's your advice? Three parts.
Okay. Three parts. Yeah. This was not always easy for me. Messaging is something that's a skill that I believe we can learn. It is something that we do have to be intentional about. And I think for me, where I learned it was a lot of spending time in my masterminds with really brilliant marketers, like Adam was one of them, who were brilliant at marketing. And Adam taught me something in 2002 that changed my life forever. He said, stop selling features and start selling results.
Yes.
Okay. And I have a funny picture. I shared it in my timeline on Facebook a while back. If you're there, you can go look at it. It was a CD that he helped me create in 2002 that where I had crickets before. I had a line of people asking me for this CD because it was solving a problem rather than talking about being a coach. Nobody was looking for a coach. They wanted solutions. And this is probably the biggest learning and place to optimize messaging. Is learn to talk about the results, the relevant specific results your clients want, and stop getting so attached to how you get them there in your messaging. That's what transformed everything for me. And now I'm actually teaching that a lot in my programs because I kind of mastered it along the way because I was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to put out messages that are juicy and exciting and inspiring to my audience.
It was always funny when Adam would just drop this profit bomb, whatever you want to call it. And he just move on. It was like brilliant, but he didn't even see the brilliance in it. He understood the brilliance, but you know what I mean? He was just that way.
Humble.
Very humble. Such a great joy. Well, my gosh, Melanie, you've been so important to me, both professionally and personally. I value our friendship more than you'll probably ever know. I hope maybe someday we'll bring this big motorhome out that way or wherever you are and we'll connect again.
But I got a nice spot for you in front of our property. So
really, no HOA is going to come.
No, HOA free zone. So we'll even hook up some electricity for you.
That's it. I can run on 110 for a night or two, but unless it's really hot, then I need power. But I got a generator.
Can I just say one last thing before we close this up? I want to just remind everyone tuning in today that connections, relationships are the gold that your business is built on. And Jim, you have been that kind of relationship for me since the beginning. You have been a giver, you've been generous, you've been a collaborator. Oh my gosh, all the things that we could talk about. But it started, it really fueled, I think, from being intentional in our mastermind. And I just can't say enough about the power of choosing to enter into masterminds where you can build these kind of relationships. Yeah. So thank you for being that person in my life. And I know we're going to continue that support until the end.
100%. And it really speaks to the value of being in masterminds and working with coaches. Even when you think, you know, you can't afford it or something, it's always like, you know, whenever I had to make an investment, it was like, okay, if I can just get one new client, I'll pay for that, right? But there's nothing wrong with that, right? That was like, what has to happen for you to be able to afford this instead of saying I can't afford it, right? And I totally believe that. Yeah, it's so funny you said that, Melanie. So yesterday was my June Dream Business Mastermind call, and I've been doing these trainings at the beginning. I talked about the equity in relationships. When you build enough equity into the relationship, and when you're working with relationships of prospective people, prospective clients, patients, whatever, you're serving them with information, with content, with value way before they're. So it's like when you're putting equity in a bank account, you then can take withdrawals. And I was doing a contrast between that and typical direct response marketing where, hey, this is who I am, buy my ebook or, you know, join my course. It's like hit. And that wears people out. I don't know why I started that right at the as we're ending the thing, but. But equity in relationships, I mean, we've had moments where one of us was probably going off the deep end and really needed it, said, I'm on the phone, call me in 10 minutes. But doggone, if we didn't connect and, you know, do that. And it's like, when I look back, I don't think I'll write another book, but I'm becoming very rear view mirror oriented these days. It's hard to believe in 6 months, I'll kind of be done. I never thought I'd get to this point, but I look back at the people, and that's specifically what this month has been about. Next week, I'm interviewing Mike Capuzzi, and the following show, which will be my last, Melanie, as far as inspiration, is not reaching out to somebody who got me in the early years, but somebody who inspires me unbelievably this day. My daughter, Jessica, will be my final interview because she has taken some of the entrepreneurial genes I've given her and just
Become a rock star.
She is a major rock star. So this has been really, really fun. Thank you, my friend. I greatly appreciate it. Oh, where can people connect with you? Because, you know, Dream Business Academy, I got to tell you this, folks. So big live event, not big. I mean, like 50 people usually, but I had the screen where pictures are taken with, you know, my logo and stuff. My gosh, I had multiple speakers, including myself. And when Melanie got off the stage, people flooded her to get picture and autographs and stuff. So since we're not there, where can people connect with you, my friend?
Yes, of course. Well, social is always a good place to connect, but I have a resource. And Jim, you've been huge in inspiring this resource. You were one of the people that were highly influential in the development of my $1 million visibility framework. And this is the framework that Jim and I've been alluding to today, and the pieces that had to be in place to take a message, to create a message and share it in a way that inspires people to work with you and to do it in a way that's amplified, that reaches what I call these multiple stages. So if you go to melaniebenson.com/Jim Palmer, you'll be able to download that. And it's my gift to you. I think you'll find it very helpful, especially if you kind of self-audit yourself around it. So Jim, thank you. Thank you so much for honoring me in this way as part of your Final Four. The memories are just going to continue to make me laugh. Superman Day.
running with the cape. And you didn't record it because you thought camera was on, but it wasn't.
I was a dork with the camera.
Somebody got it on. Somebody got a couple pictures. But anyway, Melanie, thank you so much, my friend. So folks, go connect with Melanie at melaniebenson.com/Jim Palmer for the resource. But I'm telling you, I that's what this month's about. But this woman right here has fixed me to be able to retire in 6 months. I really give you that much credit. and just an amazing giver. And get the book. Get the book. The one that Melanie's name, the printer, left off. And next week, Mike Capuzzi, then Jessica Rhodes, and then sayonara. But anyway, I am Jim Palmer. You can connect with me at getjimpalmer.com. But that's it. Until this time next week, another fantastic interview. I'm Captain Jim Palmer. I am the Dream Business Coach, and you take good care.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.